Luke 22, verse number 54 is where we'll begin our reading. Luke 22 and verse number 54. The word of the Lord says, "Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. And a certain man beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, 'This man was also with him.' And he, that is Peter, denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.' But after a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them.' And Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' About the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean.' Peter said, 'Man, I know not what thou sayest.' And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew." And according to Mark's recollection or gospel or account of this in Mark 14:71, in that third denial of Christ, Peter cursed and swore that he had never met that man Jesus.
Right.
Verse 61, "And he turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, 'Thou shalt deny me thrice.' And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Chapter 21 of the book of John, if you'll turn with me, please, in verse 15. We read in our first portion of Scripture about the time before the crucifixion and Peter's denial of Christ. This is following the crucifixion and the resurrection, and it's the day of and the day following the resurrection. Peter and his friends have gone fishing that night, the day of the resurrection, at the close of the day. And now into the next morning, they see a man on the shore who is Jesus, and he tells them to come and bring the fish which they have caught. They fished all night, caught nothing, but he threw the nets on the other side. Jesus gives them the fish and then tells them to bring the fish which ye have caught. But when they got there, they found Jesus had fish caught, cleaned, and cooked and waiting for them. When they sit down to eat together, in verse 15, Jesus says, "And when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?' He saith unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He saith unto him, 'Feed my lambs.' He saith unto him the second time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' He saith unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He, that is Jesus, saith unto him, 'Feed my sheep.' He saith unto him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, 'Lovest thou me?' And he said unto him, 'Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Feed my sheep.' Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, and thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he saith unto him, 'Follow me.'" You can be seated this morning. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. I want to preach, if the Lord will help me for a little while this morning, concerning the life of Peter. Peter walked in love with the Lord. Peter walked in love with the Lord. The Lord asked him three times, "Lovest thou me?" Now, he had three times denied the Lord. Three times said, "I don't even know who he is." Three times said, "I've never met him." He even cursed and swore that he had never known who Jesus was. And now the Lord asked him the same number of times, giving him an opportunity. Would you like to answer that question again? When one had asked you, do you love me? Do you know me? Are you identified with Christ? Peter, would you like a second go? Would you like a second chance to answer that question? Lovest thou me? He said, Lord, I love you. How about the second time when they asked you around the fire? Would you like a second chance at that one too? Lovest thou me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. The third time, you remember, Peter, that time when you cursed and swore that you had never met me, that you didn't know me, that you didn't know who I was. You want another crack at that one? Peter, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And he says, then feed my lambs. And so three times the Lord gives him an opportunity for all three occasions of denial to answer again and to pour his heart out into the Lord. Aren't you thankful for those second chances, those second times, those opportunities when the Lord gives us another go at it? Whenever we miss the mark so badly on the first round, and the Lord says, I'll give you another opportunity. I'll give you another chance. We'll have a little redo here. And you tell me now, is it still like you said it was before? And Peter said, Lord, you know the truth. I was lying before and I know that. You know the truth. You know I love you. And all three occasions he answers this way. Now we've been talking about these experiences of walking with the Lord, and this is the 14th sermon, and I'll not rehash all of them, but last Sunday morning we talked about how John, the beloved, walked with the Lord in endurance. We picked up this morning in the verses leading up to where we left off last week, how that as soon as the Lord tells Peter, follow me, Peter looks around and sees John following Jesus and says, what do you want him to do? And the Lord said, what is it to thee if I should that he should just tarry until I come? Follow thou me. It doesn't matter what John's going to do, Peter. You need to assess your own life and pay attention to your own life and do what you're supposed to do in following me. And if you love me, Peter, then that's what you're going to do. And Peter did love the Lord. He sought after the Lord. He desired after the Lord. And I this morning would love to be able, and I may say this again in the message, but it is my heart concerning this sermon this morning. I would love to be able to tell you that when I read the Word of God, that I see in John myself. That I look at John and I say, now that's me. He's the youngest of the disciples. He's the soonest and the quickest to just fall in love with the Lord Jesus. And while everybody's gathered around at the Last Supper and they're asking, Lord, is it I that will betray you? Is it I? Is it I? And John doesn't do that. He said, Lord, who is it? I don't know who it is. It might be any of them, but I assure you, it's not me. And John had that sort of commitment to the Lord. And I would like to see myself in John. John, who ran quickly to the tomb on resurrection morning, and he looked around, saw what had happened, and he instantly believed. But Peter was a little slow getting there. And then when he got there, he was confused and was slow to believe what had happened. I'd like to say I view myself and see myself in John. John, the one who in chapter 21, where we have read while they're out fishing, he sees the Lord Jesus, who they don't know is the Lord Jesus, standing on the shore, and his voice is calling out to them in the dark early hours of the morning, saying, children, have you any meat? And Peter doesn't know who the Lord is, and none of the rest know who he is. But whenever they cast the nets on the other side and then draw in all the fishes, Peter looks at, or John looks at Peter and said, it is the Lord. I'd like to say I see myself in Peter instantly recognizing the voice of the Lord. I'd like to say I see myself in John writing those books of the Bible, having that great wisdom of the Lord in him, and seemingly knowing all the answers and being filled, my friend, with understanding about the love of God and what it really means and how to tell others about it, and writing words like, he that loveth not is not born of God, for God. He that loveth and knoweth God, he says, for God is love. Hereby we perceive, he says, that we know him, that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. John's that one that all through his epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John's always talking about what he knows. that he knows these things, that he writes these things unto you that you may know these things as well. He seems to always know the answer. He seems to always be overwhelmed and filled with love. He seems to always have certain faith. He's a 90-year-old man, John is, on the island of Patmos, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he sees into the future and into the heavenlies. And I'd like to be able to say this morning when I read the Bible that I see myself in the Apostle John. But I'm afraid that rather when I read the Bible, I see myself in the Apostle Peter. Shoots his mouth off all the time. Jumps out there and gets ahead of God and makes a fool out of himself. He's eager to say, I'll die for you. And then finds himself backing out on his commitments. And he looks around time and again and he's ashamed of his record. And he's wondering how God could ever use somebody like him as many times as what I've let him down. And as many times as what I have fallen short. But there's one thing about the Apostle Peter. Maybe he runs out on the water without thinking about it, falls through, and to my friend, maybe he opens his mouth when he shouldn't have. Maybe he follows afar off, as we recorded here. He's ashamed of himself for denying the Lord three times. But when the Lord asks him a very, very important question, the man who is the way, the truth, and the life, ask Peter the most essential question he could ask him. Peter, do you love me? He didn't ask Peter, Peter, have you always done everything right? Well, Peter would have had to say, Lord, I haven't. Peter, have you got a perfect record? Peter would have said, boy, I got a rough record. If he'd asked Peter, have you lived a sinless life? Peter would have said, Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. That's what he does. End of an earlier portion of Scripture. But the Lord ask him this question, do you love me? And Peter looked at the man who is the way, the truth, and the life, and knew that he couldn't fool him and knew there'd be no need to lie to him. But he said, Lord, you know everything. And you know that I love you. That is, you know I've come short. I'm not much of a good disciple. I fail at every turn. But one thing you know about me, Lord, I really do love you. Amen. Oh, friend, I wonder, are you walking in love with the Lord? Do you love Him in sincerity? Do you have a heart for God? Oh, Peter's the subject of much critical preaching due to his open flaws, but he was one of the greatest men in the Bible. He was a true disciple, deeply imperfect, but he lived a life of long obedience in the same direction. Look at what motivated this man to die, to live and to die for Christ. Peter was a bold man. He is the only man who ever walked on the water except for the Lord Jesus. And he did it twice. None of us has ever walked on the water once. Me and just about every other preacher in the world has been critical of Peter for falling in the water. And that's kind of foolish because every one of us has fallen in the water, haven't we? I mean, we've all sunk in the water. Peter's the only one that ever stepped on the water. Amen. And he did it twice. He walked out to Jesus, fell, the Lord rescued him, and they walked back to the ship together. Oh, he's a bold man. From the boat, he is bold. From his life, he's bold. From the pulpit, he's bold. From his place of service, he's bold. He's a bold man. Peter was a brave man. When the huge crowd comes to the Garden of Gethsemane with staves and swords and pitchers of water and my friend, there are torches that they have lit up to arrest the Lord Jesus and spend the whole night with this whirlwind of events that would carry the Lord to the cross. Peter is the one that reaches in, pulls out a sword and decides to start attacking that crowd. Now it was not the right thing to do. My friend, he to cut off Malchus's ear. And it's not because he was trying to cut off his ear. He was trying to cut off his head. He just was not real good with a sword. He misses his head, cuts off his ear, and realizes, hey, I can't whip all this crowd. And if Jesus reaches down, picks up the ear off the ground, puts it back on the side of Malchus's head, and just said, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword, and my kingdom's not of this world. Peter fires of battle. His reaction to fight that day was not the right response, but it was a well-intentioned response. He desired to do what was right. He was brave enough to fight. He's the only one that did. How can I tell you, friend, may the Lord help us to have a love for God that drives us to be bold and to be brave for the Lord. Peter was a bold man. Peter was a brave man. Peter was a blue-collar man. Amen. Peter was a blue-collar man. Peter wouldn't have known that he was a blue-collar man. That's a term that didn't exist probably back in his day. But we would say that Peter was a blue-collar man. That's the term used in our modern economy for a manual laborer. Peter was a common man. He was a fisherman. He's a man who worked with his hands. Peter would have been the kind of guy that had dirt under his fingernails, had calluses on his hands. He knew what it was to put in an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." Peter is not a C-suite executive. He is not a West Point graduate, a friend trained in the disciplines of war and in the disciplines of the military. He is not an Ivy League, my friend, a student or one who has graduated with honors from some Ivy League institution of renown. He does not even have a diploma from a local church Bible college. Amen. He is a fellow who is a fisherman. He has calluses on his hands. He has trouble reading and writing to the degree that he would like to. The assistance of John Mark was necessary, my friend, in order for Peter to give us the portions of Scripture that the Lord inspired him to give us. And Peter would narrate these things, and John Mark would write them down. Thus we have the Gospel according to St. Mark, which is narrated by the Apostle Peter. And my friend, he is a man who is a common laborer, does not have the educational pedigree to be seen as an expert or as an authority on the things of this old world. But hear me, friend, when you love the Lord and when you have a deep-seated love for God in your heart, your expert status, as this world may define it, is not what gives you standing with God. It's not about the diplomas that you hang on your wall or the ribbons that hang on your chest or the medals that you may boast of. But if you really love the Lord, it'll be lived out of your life. And listen to me, friend, a farmer that works hard in the dirt, that maybe cannot read his name with boxcar letters, and does not even have a third grade education. If he is anointed of the Holy Spirit, and if he knows the Lord, and if he loves God, will accomplish more for him. For heaven's sake, than the graduates of Brown and Princeton and Harvard and all of these places and all their vaunted knowledge ever could in themselves without the unction of the Holy Spirit. May we just give God our best. If you love Him, give Him your best. If you know Him, give Him your best. Maybe you don't know how to sing round note music. Maybe you don't know how to lift your voice up and give an area to it with a high roof to your mouth like them opera singers do. But sing as you can. Maybe if you, somebody said it's hillbilly music. Well, sing it the best you can. Be the best hillbilly singer you can be. Amen. I mean, give it all you've got. Maybe you don't have instruction on how to teach. But if you got that little Sunday school class waiting to hear a word from the Lord, pray over it. Bathe your Sunday school lesson in prayer. And with the love of God in your heart, share with others what God has shared with you. Preacher man, we got some here this morning. My friend, maybe. I believe we all ought to study to show ourselves approved to the God of work, and that He is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I have a forth over 30 years trying to apply myself to study and to meditation and my friend to seek after the truths of the Lord. But this morning I am not here to tell you how much I know. I just want to tell you who I know. And oh, how I love Him. And friend, I praise the Lord that I know Him. And listen, let God birth something in your life. And love the Lord with your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Let God live through you in the love of the Lord. Peter was a blue-collar man. He was a bold man. He was a brave man. Peter was a believable man. He was uneducated, hard-working, not eloquent. But when he spoke, you could believe what he had to say. Amen. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, they said, his critics said of him, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They didn't walk away from Peter saying, you know what, he's a lot smarter than what you think a fisherman would be. No, so they walked away saying, you know, he's just a regular old fisherman. And he's not that smart and he's definitely not educated and he's ignorant of the ways of the world. But one thing for sure, he knows who Jesus is. Hallelujah. I think about Brother Sammy Allen many times saying, I don't know much, and he did know much. But he would say, I don't know much, but what I do know, I know real well. Brother, if you'll know Jesus, if you know Him real well, that's really what matters this morning. Hallelujah. Peter was a believable man. And then I want to tell you this morning, Peter was a bona fide man. Peter was a bona fide man. Hey, friend. He was bona fide. His discipleship was bona fide. His love for God was bona fide. His service to Jesus was bona fide. His sermons were bona fide. Peter was not putting on a show for anybody. As my daddy would say, Peter never put on a dog for folks. What you saw was real. It was sincere. It was honest. He was a true disciple. A follower of Christ, sincere, real, genuine. Brother Jimmy Henry used to say, I want my faith to be genuine or no wine at all. I want my life to be genuine. I want my life to serve Christ. I want to use every portion of my life, all that I have, all that I am, for His honor and for His glory. And when you love the Lord, that is what will show through in your life. Criticize Peter if you want. But he was genuine. Are you? Criticize him if you want to. But Peter was real. Are you? He was bona fide. Are you? He was true. Are you? May the Lord help us this morning. God showed us one of His best when He gave us the record of the Scripture about Peter. He showed us Him to us in reality. He didn't gloss over His faults. He showed us warts and faults and failures and all. You and I can identify with Him. He was the man of many failures. He got ahead of God. He got behind God. He rebuked God, but He never quit on God. Are you listening to me? I mean, friend, He's making missteps and misdeeds, falling and stumbling and bumbling and rumbling all over the place, but He never quit. Are you listening this morning? The Christian life, that's what it's about. Despite faults and failures, Peter loved the Lord. He could feel it like the songwriter said, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I do love Him, but I still fall short. I do love Him, but I still miss the mark. I do love Him, but I do have plenty to regret in my life. Oh, but my friend, a life of discipleship is not a life of perfection. It's a life of persistence. It's not a life free from failure. It is a life free from faith. That is, my friend, a true child of God, a true disciple of the Lord. It's not that he never comes short, it's that he never stops. He never quits. He just keeps on keeping on. He loves me as small as I am. When I fall, he picks me up, wipes off my sin, and puts me on my feet again.
Amen.
And He loves me as small as I am. Hallelujah. Long obedience in the same direction. Oh, it was neither of necessity nor constraint that caused Peter to be great in the Lord. It was his love for his Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is what Peter would write in 1 Peter's epistle, chapter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Peter failed in many aspects, but his love for God was so real that it covered, that it overcame a multitude of his sins, his faults, his failures. And all the shortcomings that he had in his life could not stop him or could not defeat him. There was an overcoming spirit put in him by his love for the Lord. And Peter told the Lord in our text in John 21, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, Lord. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee."
Amen.
Can you imagine being Peter that day? And the Lord says, "Do you love me?" And Peter knows he can't lie. He says, "Lord, you know everything." And if Peter didn't love the Lord that day, he had known better than to tell him a fib about it. Now, you may lie to somebody else and tell them that you love them, and they not know the difference. Matter of fact, I just assumed you did today. I had rather you come by the door today, because I'm ignorant. I don't know your heart. And I'd rather you come by the door today and say, "Preacher, that was good preaching, and I sure do love you." And walk out the door and think, "Man, that's the biggest idiot I ever saw. And I don't believe a word he said. As long as you don't tell me, I won't ever know the difference."
Right.
But see, if you told Jesus, "I love you, and you're so important to me," He knows everything.
Right.
And see, you can't fool Him. I mean, He knows the truth, whether you want anybody to know the truth or not, whether you want Him to know the truth or not. How when Peter looks at the Lord and he said, "Lord, you know everything. Not only do you know if I love you, you know how much I love you." See, Peter knew that he loved the Lord, but he really didn't know how much he loved the Lord. The Lord knew how much he loved the Lord. "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. You know that I do. You're asking me this. It hurts my feelings. You've asked me 3 times and you know the truth already. And I can't lie to you. You know that I love you." Amen. Oh, his love is that sincere for the Lord. The Lord knows that I love him. Amen. "Thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest all things." And Peter walked in the love of the Lord. And when he told the Lord this, "Thou knowest that I love thee," he said, "Then feed my lamb, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." And then when he got right down to it, he told him, said, "One of these days is going to come a time when you're going to get old and they're going to wrap you up the way your mom and daddy wrapped you up when you was a baby and they took you where you wanted to go. One of these days they're going to wrap you up and take you where you don't want to go." And thus he spake concerning the death that he would die. Peter would become a martyr for the things of Christ. You know why? Because he loved the Lord. It's what drove him to live and die for the Lord. He loved the Lord. And you know what? The Lord looked at him and said, "Follow me." That is, if you really love me, just follow me. It may mean the cross, Peter. Every day taking up your cross and following me. It may mean the cross in the end. And history teaches us that he was crucified. And he said on that day, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Just hang me up there upside down." Oh, friend, they wrapped him up and took him where he wouldest not. But he went there because he loved the Lord. How wonder do we love him. "Peter, do you love me? Then go and feed my sheep." Oh, may God help us this morning to walk in love with the Lord.
Amen.
Walk in love with the Lord. And I'm beginning to close with this morning. Peter walked in love with the Lord. He walked in love with the Lord in his conversion. Why did he love the Lord? Because he's converted. I mean, John chapter 1 tells us about how he's out there mending nets and he's getting ready to fish. And Simon Peter's brother, has met the Lord. And Andrew comes running to Simon Peter and he says, "We found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, and shall be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. And when Andrew came to Peter and said, "We found the Messiah," Peter immediately immediately came to Christ. You know where your real love for Christ will be birthed in your life? In your conversion. How whenever you come to know the Lord. If you've never been saved this morning, you don't know how to love the Lord. If you don't know the Lord in the free pardon of sin, if you do not know the Lord in the forgiveness of sin, if you do not know the Lord in Him taking your guilt away and making of you a new creature in Christ Jesus, then you really don't know how to love the Lord. But a friend, if you know what it is to be guilty, to see yourself in sin, to realize your only hope is God Almighty, and your only access to Him is His Son, Jesus Christ. And my friend, by faith, you call upon the Lord and ask Him to deliver your soul from a sin and from hell. And the Lord, my friend, by grace, through faith, saves your life. And it will birth in you a love for God. I love the Lord because He hath heard of my prayer and my supplication. He heard me when I cried. He saved my soul. He is my King and my Lord. He's the lover of my soul. He's the dearest friend that I ever had. He is my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my baptizer in the Holy Ghost. He is my advocate. He is my mediator between God and man. Oh, bless His name. He's the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's my beloved. He is my bridegroom. Oh, yes. He is the captain of my salvation. He's my rock and my shelter in a weary land. How you see, I could just brag on Jesus all morning, telling you what He is. I've been trying to tell folks for 30 some odd years now what Jesus means to me, and I find myself searching for words to say just what I mean. I never can quite describe how good He's been to me, but I know whatever I need, that's just what He is. I love Him this morning. Hallelujah. And that love was birthed in conversion. I made a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you don't know what I'm talking about this morning, if you're sitting there this morning thinking, I'm not really sure what to think about what that preacher's saying. And listen, I don't care who sits and listens and says, I don't know what to think about that preacher. I don't know what to think about him either. Oh, but I'm telling you, I know what to think about what that preacher is saying this morning. And what I say, these words are truth and they are life. Now, brother, if you don't know what it is to understand, if you don't know how it feels to have your sins forgiven and have your guilt rolled away and to know you could stand before God in mercy and grace and hear Him say, come on in, you're welcome in glory. Now, brother, there's no need to leave today before you make that sure. Peter walked in love of the Lord because of his conversion experience. If you've never had a conversion experience where you come to Christ by faith, then you don't know the Lord. It is by grace through faith that we are saved. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But I gave to this and I did that. It's not enough. Your righteousness does not exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Only the righteousness of Christ is what will work in your life. But if you'll put your faith in the Lord, He will impute unto you the righteousness of God. He'll put it on your account. That is to say, to impute, it is an accounting term. It means to put something on the ledger. When He said that Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, that is, when Abraham put his faith in Christ, put his faith in God, he took the righteousness of Christ and put it on Abraham's account. Amen. My ledger reads, saved, born again, right with God, heaven bound with a hammer down. Not because I've done anything, but He has imputed His righteousness unto me. Amen. Because through faith I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I love the Lord because of that conversion experience. Peter walked with the Lord in love because of his conversion, because of his commitment in Mark chapter 1. He walked by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus did look at Peter and Andrew and said, when they were casting their nets, He said, drop your nets and come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Peter was a fisherman in the family business, but when the Lord said, come after me, he left it all. God does not require everyone to leave father and mother and brother and sister and houses and land But walking in love may require it of you. It requires that you love the Lord more than anybody or anything else. And he committed his way unto the Lord, and he walked away from everything he had ever known to walk after the Lord Jesus Christ. But when Jesus becomes more important to you than anything else in the whole world, that's when you're walking in love with the Lord. I mentioned it before, Brother Sammy Allen said, the way you draw nigh to the Lord and learn to really love him is spend more time with Jesus than you do anybody else. How when the Lord is more important to you than anything, it'll be shown in your commitment to walk with him. Peter walked in love with the Lord in commitment. He walked with the Lord in conversion. He walked with the Lord in love in conflict. Every day of Peter's life was not a garden party. Not every day was it living high on the hog. Peter didn't even believe in eating hogs. He didn't live high on the hog. He didn't always have the best of everything. Peter didn't always have the luxuries and comforts of life. He didn't go through life without anybody getting upset at him. He knew what it was to be beaten. He knew what it was to have rocks thrown at him. He knew what it was to be thrown out of town. He knew what it was for family and friends to disagree with his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet he followed the Lord anyway. Oh, he told the Lord Jesus the day that everybody forsook the Lord and fled, and Jesus said, "Will you also go away?" Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." That is, I've been thinking about it. What my other options are. I've determined, Lord, you're the only help I've got. You're the only option I have. You're my only hope. That's why I'm saying here, I've got every pressure in the world to do something else. But I'll stay here. The crowd turned their back. But Peter continued to walk in love with the Lord. Oh, there may come times of difficulty where your love for God is in conflict with family, friends, or employment. But we must choose to love God first and foremost in our lives. Peter walked in love with the Lord in conflict. Peter walked in love with the Lord in chastisement. If you love the Lord, and I assure you the Lord does love you, there will be some times that He will chastise you.
You're right.
But you don't run away from Him because of it. Amen. Little Gracie. How old is she now? 24. I started to say she's 23. She's just had a birthday. She's 24 years old. Seems like I ought to be 24 years old. And Gracie's already 24 years old, my oldest girl. Caitlin and Julia don't do this. I give them a whipping, and they wouldn't speak to me, especially Caitlin. She'd get so mad. She wouldn't speak to me for weeks. She don't speak much anyway. But she would just cut you off, give you the silent treatment as long as what you'd let her get by with it. I never gave her but one or two whippings. I was afraid to. That child's vindictive. And little Gracie, I'd give her a spanking one day in the back of church back here. I had to take her in the nursery back here, and I gave her a whipping that day. I mean, I spanked her good. I mean, just had to. Didn't want to. I cried. She cried. I spanked her good. She's about 3 years old. I spanked her good, Brother Eddie. And you know what she did? As soon as what I could set her down after letting her little back end light up, as soon as what I set her down, up of the window, she climbed up my legs and grabbed me by the belt and climbed all the way up and grabbed me around the neck and held on to me. I mean, like a monkey climbing a tree. And she held on to me and she cried and she kissed me on the cheek and she said, "I love you, Daddy." Said, "Even if you beat me, I love you." Oh my, I didn't beat her. I just spanked her, and she didn't hate me for it, and she still doesn't hate me for it. And if you are the Lord's child, He's not going to let you just get by with everything. How about chastising you? He'll discipline you. He, my friend, might will spank you sometimes. He will correct us. But it's not because He hates us. It's because He loves us. And may we have the same kind of attitude little Gracie had that day. When she said, when she said, Daddy, no matter what you do, I'm going to love you. And I looked at her and I said, you misbehaved today. But I want you to know, no matter what you do, I'm always going to love you. Even when I have to spank you, I'm still going to love you. Nothing's going to stop me from loving you. I want you to know, friend, the Heavenly Father loves you no matter what you've done. Heaven, my friend, loves you too much to let you just misbehave without dealing with those things. And when he does, just keep on loving the Lord and walking with him. You'll surely be glad you did. He walked in love with the Lord in chastisement. He walked in love with the Lord in continuation. That is, Peter just kept on. He just kept on. And he just wouldn't give up. And he failed and he stumbled and he embarrassed himself and he made the Lord ashamed of him and he hurt the Lord's feelings. Made the disciples talk bad about him. But he didn't say, because I'm embarrassed, I'm going home. He just kept on keeping on.
Amen.
John 21, verses 18 and 19, the Lord told him, you're going to die the same death I did someday if you follow me. But Peter just keeps on keeping on. He never pushed back. Peter had already told the Lord, I'm willing to walk with you in life and death. He spoke of it several times. He had denied Christ at the fireside chat, but he really did mean that he loved the Lord.
Amen.
He would be willing to die for his Lord. He said it in Luke 22 and 33. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. And he did not that night, but he did before it was all said and done. Long obedient in the same direction. Some of you here this morning are like I am. You've been saved for a number of years. The old booger man comes along and kicks you and says, you're the sorriest one the Lord's got. You're the poorest excuse for a Christian I've ever seen. If you were half the Christian you ought to be, you'd be a whole lot better off than what you are. You're a disgrace. You're a shame. You're an embarrassment. I'd quit if I was you. I'd give up. That's the way the old booger man talks to me. But discipleship is not about my perfection. It, my friend, requires of me persistence to just keep on and keep on and continue on and walk on and walking with the Lord. Why? Because I love Him. Not because my record's perfect. Not because I've always done right. Not because I always will do right. But because the Lord knows the truth. I really do love Him. And I desire for my life to please Him.
Yes.
Warts and faults and failures and shortcomings and all, the Lord knows my heart when I tell Him I really do love Him. Walking in love with the Lord, you see, has no end. If you walk with the Lord, you just keep on walking with the Lord. I'll tell you how far you'll walk one of these days. One day you'll be walking along on a rocky, dusty, dirty road. And the next step, it'll turn to gold. Hallelujah. One day you'll be walking along in a difficult way, in a hard place. And this old path will end, but a new one will begin. And we'll walk home with the Lord. Walk right out of the valley of this old world. Walk through, my friend, out of the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil, holding the hand of our Lord. Walk to the pearly gates that'll click behind our heels and seal out every dirty, nasty thing of this old world. And we'll inherit a land that's fairer than day. And the land that now we only see by faith, but one day we will inherit when we stand before Him. It is to live for Christ until our last breath is taken, and then walking in love with Him through, into, and through eternity. Amen. Peter walked in love with the Lord in continuation. Hallelujah. What am I to do, Lord? Follow me, Jesus says. Walk with me. Don't quit. Don't give up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to borrow with John to help me show what Peter's supposed to do. I want you to follow me. Tell you what Peter's supposed to do. You know what Peter's supposed to do, don't you? Does anybody see Peter doing anything?
What about him? What's he supposed to do? What is that to thee? Don't worry about what he's supposed to do. You do what you're supposed to do. What is that? Follow me. Is everybody listening? What's he doing? Follow me. He don't have to know what direction I'm going to go in. As far as what he knows, I can stop, I can start, go down one aisle, come up the other one. We might take a trip out there and climb a ladder on top of the building. But you see, that's not his decision to make.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what choice he made? What choice did you make? When I asked you to follow me, you had a choice. You could sit on that pew, or you could stand up and follow. Now the rest of it's just up to me.
Right.
If you don't know the Lord this morning, that's all you've got to do. You don't have to know about what's going to be tomorrow, the next day, a week from now, a month from now, a year from now.
Yeah.
You don't have to make any decisions about anything. One thing's necessary.
Yes.
When the voice of the Lord comes out and says, follow me. Instead of shaking your head in disagreement, you just say, yes, Lord.
Right.
I'll follow. Right. And 10 years from now, you know what he still needs to be doing?
Yes.
Same thing he's doing now. Miss Edith, you told me those Sunday. Tell me again, how many years younger are you?
89.
The same role today as what it's been for all these other years.
I've belonged to the church since I was
12
years old.
Hallelujah. And still, we're just following Him. That's all we got
to
do. You don't have to come up with a new plan now. You don't have to have answers now. You know what you need to do? Follow. And I got news for you. Hallelujah. I got news for you. I know where this boy's home is. I don't know if you figured that one out or not. Hallelujah. I don't just know where he lives. I know where his home is. And if he'll follow me, you know where I'm going to take him? I'm going to take him all the way home.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then when you get home, we're going to sit down beside of our Jesus. We're just going to sit down and rest a little while.
Amen.
And you're not responsible for any of this. All you've got to do, Peter, just follow me.
Right.
Don't worry about what he's going to do.
Right.
Don't worry about what everybody thinks about it.
Right.
Just follow me.
Right.
And you're going to make it all the way home.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Some of them are going to say, we're going to wrap you up in a blanket or a sheet and drag you off somewhere or another you don't want to go. But the Lord says, where you think you don't want to go, you're still going to be following me. And they nail him to a cross, following his Lord. But I'm telling you, there's a God in glory that welcomed him on the other side. If you'll follow him, we're going to make it all the way home.
Amen.
Everybody stand. Come with a song, please. I've finished preaching what the Lord's laid on my heart. Following Christ, walking with Christ, walking with the Lord in love. The Lord were to sit in our midst this morning and ask you as he did Peter, lovest thou me? What would your honest answer be? If he asked you, lovest thou me more than these? What are the these? I think it's the fish that he's got there. More than your ambitions, more than your work, more than your labor, more than your financial plans. Do you love the Lord more than what you do the world, more than what you do mammon, more than what you do money, more than what you do your goals, more than what you do your carnal things in life? Do you love the Lord more than these? No use in lying to him about it this morning, because he knows. But if the Lord has touched your heart and down on the inside, you say like Peter, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know I love you. I believe when he's saying that, he's saying, Lord, I don't love you like I should, but you know I really do love you. This morning, some of you need to get on this altar and say, Lord, you know my heart. Grow my love, my passion, my desire for serving you. I really do love you. He will. If you've never been saved this morning, this will be the time to come and ask the Lord to come in your life. And He will work in your heart an eternal work. Folks need to pray, sing for us. These altars are open. If you need to talk to the Lord, God's touched your heart about something in this message to make it real to your life, I'd ask you to come.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached all his laws save knowing Christ.
Thou knowest all things. You know I love you.
Little John said he is precious.
Lord, I want to love you more.
Leaning on his
bosom. I want to follow you. I want to be obedient.
For a moment, may I humbly.
I want to be that man you desire for me to be.
Did I mention that I love Him, how I worship and adore Him? When I can see no way,
He makes a way.
And did I mention
He's been faithful
to every promise He's ever made me? I love Him, that's all I want to say.
You need to pray this morning. These altars are open. The invitation to the privilege of prayer is given by the Holy Spirit. I can get an altar call with the Holy Ghost. That's sending forth an invitation.
Can be sung about God's Son.
You need to pray.
There are not
the invite is open for you to come.
Words, enough of notes.
Lord, birth in my heart a holy hunger for you. Sustain that desire, that drive. That love for the Lord that keeps me going.
Did I mention that I love
Give me a love that makes me want to live for you and die for you.
And adore Him when I could see no way.
He's the dearest friend I ever had. Hallelujah.
And did I mention
He's the lover
that He's faithful to every promise He's ever made me? I love Him. That's all I want to say. I love Him. That's all I want to say.